Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Charlotte, North Carolina is Samantha Kellen. Samantha is the Lead Ethics Analyst at Duke Energy. Samantha, first of all, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk today about making connections count, basically ways to make networking really valuable to you over the long term. First, I think it's worth pointing out that networking isn't just about exchanging business cards. It's a lot more than that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Business cards are still the easiest way to get someone's info, but it's just the first step. Exchanging a business card or connecting with someone on LinkedIn is like writing their name down in your address book. It's great information, but only if you do something with it. You have to actually contact them, preferably on a pretty regular basis, in order to reap the benefits.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think there's too many people who think that the more business cards they hand out, the better. It's really the more sort of solid connections you make that turn out to be the better. You know,
yeah, it's definitely about quality over quantity.
And you do it a lot. I mean, at our meetings, you've been a great proponent of that in terms of sort of reaching out to people through the years. What do you think is the right way to handle networking at a conference?
I'm not really sure there's necessarily a right way, but I've personally done a lot of research figuring out what doesn't work. For example, at my first conference, I was so intimidated at the opening cocktail hour that I grabbed a drink, made a lap around the exhibit hall, and left, quite honestly. I couldn't figure out who to talk to or what to say, so I just gave up. But after thinking about it for a while and trying a few new things over the years, I've come up with some strategies that help me make connections even in large groups. So number one, create a list of people you want to meet ahead of time. So review the list of presenters and figure out who you want to meet so you can be strategic about which sessions you attend. And don't be intimidated. There's no chain of command at these events. We all put our pants on the same way in the morning, so talk to everyone. Compliance officers, regulators, big time attorneys, I mean everyone. Quite honestly, talking to compliance celebrities is one of my favorite parts of these events. And if there are people you only know online, add them to your list too, so you can make a face-to-face introduction. They're often much more memorable. Number two, do everything. Take full advantage of everything the conference has to offer, including the pre- and post-conference sessions. They're typically longer, so presenters often include group activities where you can interact with other attendees. And then check out some of the social events like yoga or volunteering. These are often very relaxed environments that are super conducive to conversations and introductions. And then number three, go ahead.
No, continue.
And number three, make it easy. Prepare a few networking pickup lines ahead of time so you have something to talk about. I usually go with something easy like, hey, I see you work for so-and-so. I've heard it's a great company. What's your favorite thing about working there? And I also find it so much easier to start talking with someone who's alone rather than inserting myself into an existing conversation. They're usually happy to have someone to talk to, and I don't just have to linger on the fringes of listening to other folks talk. That way I get a chance to engage.
Yeah, and you know, if I can build on that, having obviously spent a lot of times at our meetings and, you know, attending as an attendee at others too, is two things. You know, you made a great point about looking at who you know on LinkedIn and seeing if you can connect with them. There's no rule that says you can't reach out to a few people on LinkedIn beforehand and say, hey, are you going to be at the meeting? Let's get together. It'd be nice to meet face-to-face, for one.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Secondly, someone actually told me a good trick for if you're in a group conversation, you see that person hovering around the fridge. It's a good technique that somebody did for me where I was the one hovering, where, you know, it's a way for you to reach out, network, and just make life better for others at meetings. Because when you're in the middle of that conversation, you see the person there, just say, hey, Samantha, come on over. We were just talking about this. And let them quickly get up to speed. It's a great way to make others feel at home, and it's relatively easy to do. So what are some ideas you have for networking outside of conferences?
Well, I think LinkedIn is a great tool, right? But it's really about what you're saying when you're talking to people, I think, that matters most. So I find the best way to network outside of a specific event is to be helpful. be intentional about offering to assist at any time, especially when you make that first connection. And then share information or articles you think may be useful and respond to benchmarking requests if and when you can. So we can't always share certain kinds of information, but if it's something you can talk about, I would really encourage you to do so. I find compliance professionals are always curious about what everyone else is doing, right? And if you don't have what someone needs, try to put them in touch with somebody else who might. They always appreciate being passed along, to help them in their journey rather than just, kind of reaching a brick wall.
Yeah, and that's a much underappreciated value is that if you're a person serving as a connector between two people, you're not only strengthening your network, but they're two people who are very receptive to hearing and helping you in the future because you were able to help them by putting the two of them together. So,
Yeah, one of
go
my
ahead.
other favorite things to do, sorry, is just along those lines, is to host a Dutch dinner at an event where you invite a group of people who may not otherwise know each other. Everyone's responsible for paying for their own meal, so there isn't any additional cost to you. But facilitating other connections really reinforces your own. People are always grateful when you help them make other connections.
Right. And all that's, by the way, is a good reminder when actually you're at a live event, going back a step, is that people are there to meet other people. And so you really shouldn't feel bashful about trying to encourage that. So are there any do's and don'ts that you found were, notable for following up with someone you meet?
Yeah, I would say so maintenance is critical from transitioning a relationship from an acquaintance to something that's more meaningful. So remember to keep your connections alive. They're like houseplants. If you don't water them and keep them in the sunlight, they die, right? So do reach out to your connections and check in, especially when you don't need anything from them. Don't make your only communication with someone when you're looking for a job. That's probably my strongest warning. It can easily make the person feel like they're being used, and your success rate is likely to be very low. But if you've been nurturing the relationship over time and you've offered to assist them in the past, and hopefully you've been given an opportunity to do so, they'll be that much more likely to help you when you need it.
Yeah, people do tend to forget that, your willingness to reach out and be helpful. And I've said one of the things I learned from a book called Never Eat Alone by a guy named Keith Ferrazzi, Ferrazzi, that I read a few years ago is, he recommends every time you see a news article that's interesting and relevant, think of who you might want to forward it to. They may have seen it, but they'll still appreciate you doing that. And it's a good way to sort of stay in touch between the times when you may or may not need to ask for something. So, is there
Yes.
anything you think that people should be thinking about as a way to encourage people to network with you, to make you someone that they want to reach out to at these meetings or elsewhere?
Yeah, it's kind of like that open door policy as a manager, right? Like, be available. I really try to focus on my personal brand and being consistent so I'm easy to find. For example, I once changed my hair color. I went from blonde to brunette, but I forgot to update my picture online. So a few people didn't recognize me at the next event. It was a good reminder to keep my information current. And it may seem obvious, but I always wear my name badge at an event. They can be bulky and cumbersome, but they always help people know who you are. Someone may have read something that I'd published online and recognized my name, but not necessarily my face. I also like to post online, as you mentioned, when I'm going to be speaking or attending an event, to encourage people to come and find me. And I always stay behind if I'm a presenter so folks can come up and ask questions. I find those, tricks really help.
Yeah, that's great. And I unfortunately for me, I don't have enough hair to change the color that anyone would notice.
I never would have thought that that would be such a big deal, but someone came up and said, like, oh, hey, I didn't recognize you. And if people can't recognize you and find you, then they're not going to connect with you.
And truthfully, I think the same rule applies honestly to when you if you've long had long hair and suddenly have short hair, it can be very disconcerting or you've grown a lot of hair in the interim and those kinds of things. It's all a good argument for also not being the person with the LinkedIn or whatever picture that's 20 years old and you're tr makes you look like you're trying to hide what your true age is
Right.
and how you really look because ultimately people can't find you who want to find you. Any other final tips before we start wrapping up?
Let's see. I think staying current, as you mentioned, when you have an article that you find, right? If you're not out there and engaged in the conversations that are happening about our industry and about best practices, it can be difficult to keep those conversations going one-on-one. So, get online, read the news, and then check out LinkedIn. I use that as a great source for content that's specific to our industry because the majority, vast majority of my connections are compliance and ethics folks. So I'm looking at what they're talking about, and then I'm able to share that and have something to contribute to the conversation if I'm just having a one-on-one conversation with someone.
Yeah, you make a good point there. As people think of LinkedIn only for looking up profiles, but if you look at the content that people post, it can be a great source of information. And by doing it yourself, it also says, look, I'm here to share and interested in connecting with you. And likewise, Twitter can do the same. Well, before we close, I want to add one of my own personal tips is when you collect the business cards or of people and you go to put in an Outlook, one thing I always do is try and note down where I met the person and what we discussed, and maybe something about them personally that they shared. Because a lot of times you meet someone, and a year later you think, oh, who was that, woman I talked to at the Compliance and Ethics Institute about, I don't know, cheese. You remember that? And that note section in Outlook is fully searchable, so you can type in a search that's just, instant
Cheese.
cheese and find them. And it's one of those things that's really simple. And likewise, when that person ends up reaching out to you 2 years from now and you're like, who's that? You can go back and look them up in Outlook and like, oh, then you remember who they are, and it makes for a much more meaningful contact.
Yeah, I also love that because you can use it to as a conversation starter, right? Like it kind of transitions your whatever way you reach out to them, say you email them, it transitions it from a cold email to sort of a more lukewarm email. I once, or actually last week, reached out to one of the staff members at SECE about something, and I referenced back to a dinner we had at the last conference. That way, hopefully it'll jog her memory about who I am. So I think that's a great tip.
Did you eat cheese at the dinner?
It was in Frankfurt, and I can't remember if we had cheese. I don't think it was a cheese-dominated meal.
All right. Well, cheese and networking do go hand in hand, but anyway, at
They're
least
both
they do
fun.
for this call. Well,
Right.
Samantha, thanks for sharing your insights and thanks for speaking about this topic at the 2018 Compliance and Ethics Institute. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen in today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.